There's just so much more to hear.
Download our podcasts at DubaiEye1038.com.
A very good afternoon. This is the Thursday brunch on Dubai Today, and I'm Siobhan Layden. We're celebrating food today live from Ibn Battuta Mall for the Dubai Food Festival. There are foodie pop-ups, there's events, there's restaurant offers, inspiring chef demonstrations, and even some fireworks thrown in for good measure, happening all over the city at part of the festival on until the 3rd of March. So in the spirit of the food fiesta coming up over the next two food-filled hours, we'll be talking food news, mystery ingredients, for your chance to win lots of prizes, food fantasies, as well as sampling some delights from the guest chefs. So let's say hello and welcome, first of all, to the very talented duo, Nick Alvis and Scott Price, the founders of and chefs at Folly in the Souq Madinat Jumeirah. Welcome. Thanks for joining us today.
Good afternoon.
Oh, yeah. Mic is down there. Let's put the mic up. Try again. Hello.
Hello.
Hello, Nick. How are you doing? So a little bit about you, first of all, for those who might not have heard you or know about you or know about your restaurant. Nick and Scott worked for Gordon Ramsay for 15 years in London, Paris and Dubai before venturing out to launch their own restaurant in 2011. They've won a string of awards and accolades over the past 2 years before developing their own local brand Taste Kitchen. And in 2016, they went on into exclusive partnership with Gates Hospitality and created Folly. It's their first venture in what hopefully will be a long-term relationship. So, and I must say, first of all, congratulations, because you are a year old. Is it today or tomorrow?
Today.
Today. Today.
Yeah, today.
Happy birthday.
Thank you.
Can you believe it's been a year?
Yes,
yes.
And no. Yes and no. I think we were saying earlier at the start, it's such hard work. And the first 3 months of a restaurant is incredibly stressful. Getting everything, the standards, getting the guys to work how you want to work. And pushing the team, because, as you know, we've been here 8 years now, and there's such a high expectation from ourselves and our guests to come in the restaurant, and you only get one chance with, you know, with the magazines, with the reviews, because there's that many restaurants in town, to show people what you can do.
Yeah.
So the first 2 or 3 months are crucial, I think, to Absolutely. Start the business in city, and will really show people what you can do. So. Mm. It seems like it's never going to end. You know, you're at work, morning, lunch, dinner every single day, and then all of a sudden, it's a year.
So we're quite lucky to have both of you on the couch together at the same time. What's going on back in the restaurant right now?
Setting up for dinner tonight.
Yeah, okay, very, very busy. Full house, isn't it, tonight as well?
Yeah, fully booked.
Mm. Well, we're going to have a good chat with you about the restaurant, about your careers to date, some food news as well coming up, and also food fantasies. And share those with us. And as we mentioned, we've also got the mystery ingredients, so do stay with us for that. And also, let me give you the numbers out. If you've got any questions for the guests, for Nick or for Scott or for the other guests joining us on the program today, 4001, that's the text message number. You can also give us a call if you like. The phone lines are open, 04 43 1010. Coming up also on the program, Chef Stefano Viren, who is the chef de cuisine at Verdura Mediterranean restaurant here at Ibn Battuta Mall and at downtown Dubai, will be popping by, and we're going to be sampling some wonderful food and sharing some stories with him. And then later on in the second hour, Chef Ryan Waddell, who looks after the clubhouse, the Ship's Wheel, but also Seafood Kitchen in Jebel Ali Recreation Club, will be joining us. And we'll also be getting some tennis updates, so it's a packed show. We do look forward to hearing from you again. Tell us about some of your food fantasies, possibly, as well. Also join in the food stories. 4001 again, that's the text message number for to get in touch with us, or 04 43 1010 is the phone number. So going back to Nick and Scott, talked a little bit about a year in business, a year of Folly, and then perhaps you can give us some details. You're keeping it a bit close to your heart right now, aren't you? But there's something new happening in your business. You're going to be branching out, but we can't say where just yet, can we?
It's a bit of a secret at
Is
the
it?
Moment. Yeah. We'll get into
we
trouble.
We won't tell anyone, honestly, if you wanted to. But it's something a little bit different, isn't it? Can I sort of eke out a little bit? Go on, tease us a little bit with what's happening. You don't have to share all of it, but just a little bit.
Today is our first birthday of the restaurant. So tomorrow, to celebrate our birthday, we'll be offering a welcome drink to all our guests that come in for dinner tomorrow evening. We'll be doing a promotion from 12 o'clock till 9 o'clock tomorrow night for drinks packages, basically. And also we have a DJ from 6 p.m. tomorrow. So the pastry chef today is making a huge birthday cake. Oh, we're all going to celebrate, so if anybody's coming down, we'll hopefully get a piece of birthday cake. It's I think in the city, it's a great achievement. We're very proud that we've managed to get a year under our belts, because a lot of restaurants fold, without being negative about it. But we're very, very happy and proud of what we've achieved in the last year. It's been a really great year in terms of the restaurant and the building the brand in us. Tonight's our first birthday. We're full, partly due to Dubai Restaurant Week as well. And yeah. It's a really positive feel for us and the team in the restaurant.
What's on the menu this evening? I know you've got it in front of you. And I spotted an ingredient. It's one of those love or hate. And I was quite surprised to see it, actually. Marmite. Is that something you cook with them a lot?
No, don't cook with it a lot, but I've used it quite a lot over the years in vegetarian dishes, because it like brings out a meaty flavour into the dish, so it gives it a bit of a bite. So for a long time we were working on like a puree of rice, and we basically season it with Marmite instead of using salt. It's seasoned with Marmite, and we aerate it. We fill rings of pickled courgette with the rice mousse. And then we sprinkle over the top some like crunchy, it's basically like pearl barley.
Okay.
It's called Job's Tears, but they taste like Twiglets. We roll them in the Marmite. So it's a bit nostalgic, but yeah, with completely different ingredients.
Are you a big fan of Marmite?
I love it, yeah.
Do you like it? It's either like love it or hate it.
I'm kind of in the middle. I find myself in service. The crunchy Job's Tears, there's a pot, I can eat loads, and then I'm like, I've had enough. Because it just gets too much, but they are quite delicious. I think that the point with the menu we've tried to put up for the food festival is to give something a bit interesting and about what is folly. You know, we try to do things a little bit differently.
As the name suggests, I suppose.
Mm. Yeah, it's a bit tongue in cheek the name, but again, we want people to come and enjoy themselves, but they also try different things as well. The food isn't completely out there. But at the same time, it's still a little bit different, and we want people to try and try new things and taste and flavours combinations that they've never thought of before.
Tell us about something else that's on the menu.
Well, we've got the crispy hen's egg, which has been on our menus for probably about, I don't know, since 2011 when we opened Table 9. We worked on a crispy hen's egg dish, which has evolved through the years, and now we've got it on with a morel mushroom puree and a vinegar caramel, which is pretty much what we've always used, but we've gone from button mushrooms to morel mushrooms, and we've adapted the caramel to be using different vinegars and stuff like that. So it's a basically crispy egg salad, which people love. So it always ends up on our menu, so it's a bit of a signature.
Mm. And just looking through there, there's lots of different choices, isn't there? So this is a menu for 200 dirhams or 199. Fabulous, absolutely wonderful. I'm going to introduce it. Just sat down. And it's great to also be joined by Tahir Shah. How are you?
Fashionably late. How
That's
are you?
Okay. How's We're it? Just talking food, of course. It's the Thursday brunch.
We have to.
Great to have you with us today.
Yeah, thank you, Siobhan. Yeah. How are you doing?
I'm good. We're all good, yeah?
We're good.
You're a bit of a regular, aren't you, on the Thursday brunch?
Yeah, I pop in now and again just to see what's going on, see what's cooking.
Food samplings. It's all about food, of course, this afternoon. You are, I hope you don't mind me saying, but you are Mr. Moti Roti.
I'm that guy.
Yeah, Moti Roti, Moti Roti.
Yeah, well, it's. I always like to think of it as asking for more tea, so Moti Roti.
Moti. I like it. Also the creator of the food founder.
Yeah, so like so many people were coming up to me saying how do you create a food truck or a restaurant. I want to start up my own cafe because I made a blog and I go a lot on the restaurant panels. I thought, okay, why, there's so many guys who are like mom and pop outfits who want to do something, very creative, talented people. I would like to share my knowledge. Like, I've been through the grind, like from starting the kiosk and the business licenses and all of that. So that's what Food Founder is there for, like consulting, mentoring.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, and there's a lot of restaurants out there. There's a lot of competition out there as well. Every day there seems to be a new place opening, something either in the hotels or a new area opening with, mixed use sort of restaurants and
closing and opening.
Closing and opening. Do you have any stats on the turnover of restaurants?
I wish I could get those stats. I'd love to see them myself.
Yeah.
I mean, I think a great example is JLT, right? So it's all neighborhood restaurants, independents. And now and again, you see like one shuts down and another guy comes in and pops in and takes over. I wish there was a way to make it more sustainable. I'm sure, you know, the gents here also have stories they can share where we can all contribute to find a better way for young entrepreneurs to come and sustain their businesses here. Mm. That's what I want to do as a food founder, like propel and represent the younger entrepreneurs.
Yeah, I mean, we're just actually talking about the first year anniversary of Folly, which is Nick and Scott's restaurant.
Oh, congratulations. So happy birthday.
Thank you very much.
First year, 1 year down, hopefully many more to go. But you're absolutely right. I mean, the turnover is incredible. I mean, especially, yeah. I think, the ones on, for example, say, Jumeirah Beach Road, and where you obviously see them a lot more because you're driving up and down the road. But, you know, and I do often wonder, you know, that's a strange thing to open here. There's no parking. I'm not sure who's going to go to this place. And I sort of wonder how much research goes into opening lots of these various different places. And sure enough, like a year later, 6 months later, it's gone.
So can I make a comment, like, to borrow your concept idea, to use the word folly? So it's folly, I think, I've been guilty of it, that you go into a place that you're from, like in London, or you've been to New York, and you think, oh my God, this is so hot here, it's doing so well, I'll bring it to Dubai. And you assume it will be just as popular, knowing that taking into account that it's a different type, the way it's laid out, it's a driving city, the weather is hot 6 months of the year, this and this. It doesn't
surely
work.
Surely people
like
do their research. I, you know, surely you're going to come here and go, right, let's have a look. Let's just sit here. Let's just stand here and see
it depends
how it works, you know.
If you work in the restaurant business, it's your life. I think you look at it a very different way. And I think if you work as more as an investor, or not always in the business. You know, we've grown up in the business, working in kitchens.
Yeah, but you've also eaten at restaurants, I'm sure. Many restaurants in your life.
Yeah, but even now we've started to develop into the way we look at when somebody shows us a new site, you look at the viability, you look at the demographics, you look at what they're offering, and it's not just about, oh, is it good, is it busy? But, you know, there's a lot of factors that go into it.
Yeah.
And obviously the rent is one of the huge factors in any business, because it's your main overhead or your main expense. And we've learned a lot over the last few years, not about cooking, but in terms
business.
Of becoming business and restaurateurs, because that's, you have to make money at the end of the day, otherwise there's no point in doing it, as much as a passion project or whatever, however much you care, if you don't understand the business, it makes it very difficult.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, let's continue that conversation when we come back. Great to have you here joining us live at Ibn Battuta Mall. Join the show if you like on 4001. Any questions, comments? We're talking all about food, restaurants, the business of creating food and restaurants as well, all on Dubai Today. Good afternoon. Welcome back. 4001, that's our text message number. I'm going to keep giving it out so you can join in the show today with any questions and comments. In fact, one's just come through from Sam. Thanks, Sam, saying Chef Nick and Scott both create great veggie dishes.
Thank you very much. I think we put more effort into the vegetarian, if you want to call it, it's no meat, no fish, whatever. It's not a vegetarian dish, but we put more thought and more effort into those dishes than we do with the lamb. Or it's easy to bake a nice piece of lamb, tastes nice. So there's a lot of that. I think when we developed Table 9, we thought that instead of people coming in saying, I don't eat this and I don't eat that, I'm celiac, I'm allergic to this, we put all the thought into the dishes, like the courgette dish and the courgette and the marmite is, it ticks pretty much every box. There's no dairy in there, there's no wheat. It's
very friendly.
Yeah. Well, that's it. Instead of you know, thinking in the middle of service, oh, what can we do? We have a mushroom dish on the menu with a cashew nut satay sauce that's very delicious. And again, it's no dairy, it's no gluten, it's wheat free, and all of the dishes are on the menu. I think there's out of 28 dishes, 9 of them are vegetarian, if you'd like
to call it. Catering to the demand then.
Well, it's when you want to go out for dinner, you want a choice, and we don't want to make people feel awkward for asking for different food.
Something
on the menu.
Let's pick up on that story a bit later on, because we've got some other news stories which are quite interesting. I'd like to get your take on them as well, which is about this fake meat and so-called fake foods that are coming up, and, you know, veggie burgers, veggie sausages, all these sorts of things. So, yeah, we'll pick up on that a little bit later and go into more food stories. But I want to just step back a bit and carry on the conversation that we were having just before the break there with also Tahir Shah, who's with us, who's the food founder, in fact, helping restaurants set up. sharing your experience and your advice from having done so with other restaurants and franchises that are coming here. And it was just on the back of a story that I read as well from The Guardian, which is... In fact, it's been here. I mean, a lot of people have seen restaurants closing down here. They pop up, they close down. And it's about the casual dining crunch, why some of the big brand names as well, their restaurants are closing. And they're saying it's because of various different reasons. It could be competition. It could be because of implications on exchange rates, recruitment, consumer confidence, oversaturation, various different issues. Or, you know, maybe it is because of the huge big companies who are buying these smaller companies up. There's a whole different reasons. And I was asking Nick and Scott earlier as well about how do you maintain the strength of a small restaurant, the uniqueness of it, the freshness of it, the passion that you two are in the restaurant. But also, I mean, you want to make money, you want to grow, you want to be successful. I suppose the ideal situation is to be either bought out or to have investors come in. But how do you still maintain all those key core values that you started with in the first place?
I think, really importantly, Scott said it a minute ago, that one of us is... We're in the restaurant every single day and every single night. So when it comes to making decisions and fixing problems and dealing with guests that maybe don't like what we're doing and we can adapt, I mean, it's there. There's no one that can... There's no hesitation of sorting out any problems. And I think when guests know that the owners of the restaurant are there, it makes it a very different... place. If you expand and dilute what you're doing, I think that's a big thing with what we're talking about with these restaurants. They've got so big so quick and they've lost their identity a little bit and their quality as well.
But it's difficult. I mean, I said if you do want to expand, it is difficult. There's only two of you.
I think that with the...
You know, you can't be everywhere at the same time.
Well, no, we're heading
we
into
that
situation
though.
Right
Uber,
now.
Uber copters and, I don't know, about cloning. I'm not sure how you feel about that. But
I think we've grown slowly in the city. You know, we opened Table 9 in 2013 and it's still open now, which is a good sign. And we've learned a lot. I mean, I was only, I think, 30 years old when we opened Table 9. We've grown... and learnt slowly. We've set up our own business about 2.5 years ago. We saved up the money to do it in due course. We haven't rushed anything. We've turned down a lot of offers to do things because we didn't feel it was right. And I think that shows that, you know, we want to make sure we both have quite high standards and we have very similar values and what we think is important for the business and for the restaurants. We also have Victoria, who's not here today, who's just a key personnel. The three of us have been working together for 5 years and Victoria's at the restaurant now. Otherwise, we wouldn't be here. So.
Yeah, I mean, you are quite unique then in that sense, don't you think? I mean, Tahir, I mean, they have a unique prospect here of being involved, two chefs involved in the business.
I think you don't see enough of that nowadays. I mean, that especially in Dubai, you get that confidence of going to a place and you know the owner, the chef is here. It's their dishes.
Personally invested
their
as well.
Their hand is in there somewhere when I've ordered tonight. And I think it adds a lot. It augments a lot, that experience. And I think about when you compare, like I was a big part of the food truck scene here and I'm not an ex-chef. I'm a corporate dropout. I went in and I wanted to do something because I was passionate about it. And I look at the difference between, say, the UK food scene and the pop-up scene and the one here. By far, there's that whole plethora of chefs or ex-chefs, ex-executive chefs in the UK, talented guys who man their own stalls, man their own truck. That doesn't happen here. It really doesn't. And I wish there was more of it. I mean, we're talking a little bit different with casual dining here, but the essence, that sentiment is still there for the public, for the consumer.
Yeah, do you feel it's just a very different way of creating restaurants here than it would be perhaps elsewhere?
Yeah, I mean, let's take into account... I'll give you another example. Morty Roti was inspired a lot by Chipotle. Now, Chipotle, this is different to casual dining. It's part of what you call fast casual in the States. So, you know, it's a nicer quality, more premium quality food, gourmet burritos, let's say. But... The service is very fast. You go to a counter, you build your own, and off you go. It's great for students, office workers. That's who it works for. I try to emulate that with Morty Roti in this environment here, but the cost of business is a lot more challenging. And it's that nice economic model of a small staffed, small menu, easy to manage, which is an investor's dream. The cost is minimal. But here, all the other costs and things and fees and hidden this and hidden that goes into it. Oh my God! And all the rentals, you know, it encroaches on that
Yeah, and in that essence, it changes the price. Yeah,
it changes totally.
And then, of course, changes the whole concept of what the restaurant wanted to be in the first place.
Yeah.
What do you think? How do you think times are changing? I mean, how do you think it's becoming? Not easier, but let's say better, and for restaurants to come in and produce good quality food at good prices, affordable prices.
I think ears are perking up now, and I see landlords and developers holding onto empty space, vast caverns of spaces, and like, oh, we didn't rent this out yet, and they either partition it and they rent it out to multiple concepts, or a lot of concepts are quite enterprising. They're like, you know what, I've got this extra space here which I don't need. Let me invite another concept who I can collaborate with, or I myself will create another concept. So there are ways, and I also think the, you know, it's quite good the government are perking up and listening up and thinking, well, what can we do something about the license structure, etc. These are the kind of discussions we're hearing on the vine nowadays. And I hope it goes that way.
Yeah. And what about Nick and Scott? You've obviously got lots of experience in the business as well, having worked in setting up your own and various different concepts, and of course a new concept coming up as well. Do you think it's becoming, I would say, easier? Because I don't think it should really be that easy, should it, to set up a restaurant? You have to go through the you know, various different stages.
I think
if everyone could set up a restaurant left, right, and centre, then it would make it worse. You know,
I think it depends on the setup, because we're a standalone. We have our own company. We have a business investor that Gates Hospitality, who are long term business partners, who've supported us for the last 2.5 years, building Folly and now in the future. But we've taken a long time to find the right partner for us that we want to work with and understands what we want to do, and they support local brands as well, and they're really aligned with what our future and how we want to go forward, and understand the business as well, which is equally as important. They've worked in hotels and restaurants and understand what needs to be done to make a successful restaurant. But I think in terms of growth since we've been in the last 8 years, I think now there's always been these big celebrity chef names, all these huge names coming over from the States, from, you know, Japan, Tokyo, wherever, all over the world. And the chefs like us, you know, we came over on the Gordon Ramsay boat, and we've branched out and done our own thing. And I think a lot of people are starting to do that now, and investors are catching on that there's actually some talented people here that want to do their own restaurants, like in the UK.
Right.
And I think
rather than the chain
restaurants, there's a place like the Barbary DXB that gets really good reviews, and this is word of hearsay that there's a chef from here doing this, good business, and it's really starting to, there's an underground scene, but as well with talented guys that are doing more more exciting restaurants.
Right, well, we'll talk more with you guys, Nick and Scott, and also Tahir, and we'll be tasting some food as well. So are you feeling a bit hungry? A little bit peckish?
Yeah, I could eat.
Yeah, okay, good. Because Chef Stefano Viren is going to be sharing some of his wonderful food samplings with us after the news, so stay with us. A very good afternoon. Welcome back to the show. We're talking all about food. We're talking about restaurants. We've got some great guests joining us, sharing their thoughts and their stories with us as well. Nick Alvis and Scott Price, who are the founders of Folly at the Souk Madinat. Welcome to you once again. We've also got Tahir Shah with us, who is the creator of The Food Founder. And before we start to introduce our next chef and start to sample and taste some wonderful food that he's brought for us today, we have the mystery ingredient. It's your opportunity to win 500 gift voucher for Folly, which is wonderful. I'm going to pass it over to you in just a second. Let's do the mystery ingredient.
Guess the ingredient.
Okay, today's mystery ingredient has been used as a herbal medicine since ancient times. Egyptians discovered that applying today's mystery ingredient improved the complexion and healed burns. In the 5th century BC, Hippocrates wrote the medicinal uses of the plant that today's mystery ingredient comes from.
Should we have another one as well? Let's read two clues. You're going, Nick.
The English term for the plant, contrary to popular belief, does not come from the word old, but from the Anglo-Saxon eld, meaning fire, because the hollow stems of the branches were used as bellows to blow air into a fire.
Interesting. Did you know that?
No.
If you think you know the answer, if you think you know what the mystery ingredient is today, do text us on 4001 and you could be winning a 500 voucher to spend and enjoy at Folly Restaurant, which is fabulous. 4001. So let's say hello and welcome now to our next guest, Chef Charles Stefano Viren, who is the chef de cuisine at Verdura Mediterranean Restaurant at Ibn Battuta Mall. Charles, welcome. Good to see you.
Good afternoon.
Yeah, thanks for joining us today.
Thank you for having me.
Tell us a little bit about Verdura.
Okay, Verdura is basically a Mediterranean twist restaurant which combines all the flavors like the Levant, Syria, Lebanese, Greece, and Italy.
Mm.
Okay, all in the structure of Verdura, we call it naturally natural, which is natural in Italian also pronunciation. And when you get in the atmosphere for Verdura, for example, you can see the green. It's basically show the structures, the sea and the sun. Okay.
Right.
So when you get the atmosphere of the welcome and the freshness already. So the food is and the atmosphere of the restaurant is basically going in the same way.
Sounds amazing. Now, you're originally Mauritian, aren't you?
Yes.
So you grew up in that wonderful environment of, not Mediterranean, of course, but greenery.
The green,
beautiful
the sea,
seas, amazing food. Yeah.
Great for the time.
And you started, that's where you started your career, was it, in Mauritius?
Yeah, back in Mauritius, yeah.
And what's the main food, sort of type of food from Mauritius? Is it mostly shellfish and fish?
Okay,
or?
Let's be honest. Like, if tourism flying to Mauritius, they'll go for seafood, they'll go for fresh items like fish and all because of the sea. Mauritius is a multicultural country where you can see everybody. You can meet the Hindus, you can meet Chinese, you can meet Muslims and all.
Mm-hmm.
Like, we're all Mauritians, but basically we look different. We all look different, but Mauritian.
Yeah, real mix. It's some place I've always wanted to go. It
so
looks absolutely
you
beautiful.
Can easily get all the food festivals back home. Yeah, easily. In February, you have the Chinese. In March, let's say you go for the Hindus, for example. So everybody is used to different kind of foods.
Mm. And that's using that experience, I suppose, this is you've used that to create the dishes over at Verdura.
Exactly. Mm.
So without further ado, we have some wonderful food in front of us right now. Perhaps you can take us through what you've brought for us today to sample. Let's have a look.
Okay. Basically, I bring two dishes, which are called starters. Okay. As you can see, if you go for Mediterranean restaurant, okay, you'll have mix up of maize, corn maize, and all. Whereas for us, it's basically we have a salad. Let's say if you go for the combination of the fattoush, for us it's a quinoa salad with pumpkin seed, which is basically seven types of lettuce and 4 to 5 types of nuts.
Seven types of lettuce?
Yes, exactly.
Okay. I didn't know there were seven
spinach,
types
arugula,
of lettuce.
Spinach, arugula, doloroso, and all. Local romans,
okay.
Most of our product is imported, but we use some of the local products as well.
Okay.
Okay, the combination of all the Levant cuisine, okay, the ingredients, of course, lemon juice, olive oil, and the nuts, let's say you go a little bit more organic and more fresh, let's say, healthy food.
It looks very healthy. It looks actually really beautiful as well. It's a lovely colour. We see the green of the lettuce and the tomatoes and the pumpkin seeds. Now I'm going to stand up and have a closer look. It looks absolutely delicious. What was that served? Was that with an olive oil dressing or
Lemon and olive oil dressing.
Mm, so keeping it simple as well.
Pinch of salt, of course.
Mm.
Yeah. Mostly you can get all the flavours out of the product itself. Okay, the cherry tomato is a little bit sweet. The broad bean, you can get the sourness. The lettuce have different flavors. You can get the bitter, you can get the sweet, you can get the acidity out of it. And the nuts as well, okay, for the healthy part. So all this combination mixed up together with the olive oil and the lemon, which is basic dressing.
Yeah. Okay? You don't need it much else, do you, with all those different flavors?
You don't need to add anything much because the product itself is already flavored.
Mm-hmm. And next to the salad there, what's this one?
Okay, we got a shanklish salad, a homemade shanklish. Okay, basically the shanklish is served with tomato, cucumber, and all. For our side, we try to redetermine like the caprese salad. Okay, we have used heirloom tomatoes, mixed colored tomatoes, pomegranate, aphelia cress, radish, and watermelon as sweet. Okay,
watermelon in there as well.
Yeah, watermelon as well. Okay, it's a mix up like the sweet and the sour, and we use a za'atar pesto with it. If you guys know, the za'atar is a little bit like fresh thyme. Okay, so rather than using the pesto, like everybody use the basil pesto, we've tried to combine a different lemon flavor and try to make it the same presentation. So the shanklish, traditional Syrian, Egyptians, and lemon people, they make it dry in the sun and all. For us, we combine the flavor of the feta a little bit, the spicy Syrian chili powder. Then you can get sweet and chili combined together, acidity, of course.
Chef, if I can ask you as well, I'm looking at your dishes here. Was any of your dishes inspired by your Mauritius upbringing? Is there any twist or element you've added personally yourself?
Let's say for the steakhouse, for example, yeah, we have a lot of cuts. Like the freshness of the items, for example, we go for the greens. Basically, we have seafood as well, but today we don't present seafood. So let's say for the freshness of the items, the quality of the items, I've been chosen, maybe inspired from Mauritius.
Mm. And I love the combination of flavors there. That za'atar pesto, I've never heard of that before. That sounds delicious. Yeah. Okay, as you said, using the za'atar from this region of sorts. How do you make it? Well, it's crushed.
Okay, well, the same base that you'll be using a normal pesto is basically you use basil. Mm-hmm. You use parmesan cheese, olive oil, pine nuts, salt. For our side, we'll be using za'atar, fresh za'atar, pine nuts, lemon juice, parmesan,
right,
and salt.
So you
and
just replace
oil, of course,
the basil,
yeah, we replace
with the
it, and we try to do something else with it.
Mm, okay. Mm. And of course, the watermelon as well.
Yeah.
I'm one of those that doesn't. I really like combining fruit with food. I don't know why, but I don't. Watermelon was one of the only ones that I actually think goes really well for me. So it's nice, and it also adds obviously a lovely fresh color, doesn't it? Is that pomegranate I see on the top there as well?
Fresh pomegranate, correct.
Yeah. And fresh. You've used that word quite a lot. It's all really about fresh ingredients, isn't it? And
yeah, definitely. As we say, naturally natural. We need to make sure that we have all the best suppliers in Dubai. Okay. All the items coming from France, from England, from America, all the fresh items.
Yeah, I think it's something we'll perhaps talk about with Nick and Scott here as well, where they mentioned about sourcing ingredients. And you mentioned earlier, especially talking about the first salad, how important it is, or how you do try to source ingredients locally as much as possible.
Yeah.
Is that right?
Yeah. We try to mix up, let's say, using local items as well.
So what's local there then? What's sort of grown locally?
Let's say we go for the Lulu Russo and as well the local Roman.
So they're both grown,
yeah, and
right,
some okay. of the nuts, they are living.
Okay.
Yeah.
And what about the meats and the fish and things
the
like
meat
that?
The meat cuts, okay, we go for different countries. We go for Canadian, you go for US, Australia, and France.
Mm.
Yeah.
And this, the pièce de résistance in the middle there, what's that?
That's a Canadian veal. Chop.
Canadian veal, that's come all the way from Canada.
Chop. Yeah.
And what's on top? Is that some form
it's
of
It's a za'atar butter, za'atar flavored. It's a saffron za'atar butter.
Ah, interesting.
Saffron.
Right.
Yeah.
Oh, this one's the saffron, obviously. Is it? Or what's this one at the
That's
side?
That's an harissa. That's an harissa sauce, actually.
Oh, okay.
Okay.
Right.
If you want to go for explosive, if you go for harissa in terms of leavened, definitely is the red chili, like exploding.
Right. We're going to take a short break. Some more to come, though, on the program. And we're going to, during the break, we'll have a little taste if we can. Let's get some samples in the bowls. We'll have a little taste and we'll continue talking when we come back. Stay with us. Any questions at all for the chefs, please do join us on 4001. Good afternoon. Well, we've been very lucky because just during the break there, we've been sampling some of this fabulous food, very kindly brought to us by Chef Charles Stefano Viran, who's the chef de cuisine at Verdura Mediterranean Restaurant at Ibn Battuta Mall. We've had a wonderful salad with various different types of lettuces and beans and cashew nuts and then heirloom tomatoes and then a veal, was it a veal shank, all the way from Canada. So we've got Chef Nick Alves and Scott Price with us. We've also got Tahir Shah, who's been sampling. I mean, I can just, I don't even have to ask, was it good? Because Nick has literally wolfed it down. That must have been good.
It was really nice, yeah. Really,
you know?
Really nice.
You enjoyed that.
Mm.
What did you like most about it?
The freshness,
yeah.
Freshness of the salads, the heat on that harissa is bang on. Yeah, really good. Really
is it very spicy or?
It is
I'm
on
not
its
good
own,
with
yeah.
spice. So I'm
you,
a bit.
You need to eat it with the meat.
Right. Okay.
The meat
definitely.
Cuts through the spice. Yeah. Don't try on it. Right?
It's interesting because I think in Mauritius there's a lot of spice in there as well. So does that come a little bit from your background?
It does mix up a little bit.
Yeah, yeah. So you like a little bit of spice?
On and off.
Mm.
It depends on the items, for example.
Sure,
like,
yeah.
As you can see, we don't marinate the meat direct with the chili, so we put it on the side, so it's either you ticklish. A lot of restaurants, if you're walking in Dubai, people will say, do you have it spicy? Is it spicy? So most of the people, as we mix here, they will look for this touch. So
yeah, so you can either have it spicy or not.
Yeah, you can have it or not.
And how did you cook the meat there?
The meat was cooked char grill, direct on the charcoal. So we go basically the same way as you would go for a mixed grill. Okay, all the Arab restaurants, the Levant restaurants, they use the direct contact charcoal. You don't put the meat direct, it's just the heat, and you can get the flavorness of the wooden smoky.
Okay.
Okay, so we use the same method. Rather, we put the grill direct on the charcoal, no gas, and you're able to feel this.
So you get this sort of smoky flavor, but you also get all the juices and everything contained within
the
meat.
Yeah, exactly.
Mm.
Yeah.
Tahir, what about you?
All about freshness, chef. I mean, you said it so many times, but you weren't lying. It's so. I mean, the salad, like, they like center stage. They really come, like, they're not a side element at all. The watermelon, I think you said you only put salt and lemon juice on it, right?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. We use the za'atar, which means it's mixed up a little bit, so you've been able to get some of this flavor as well.
Mm, yeah,
no, that was wonderful. And then I just literally now, whilst you guys were talking, I wolfed down a bit of the veal. That's awesome. Especially the
Do you like heat. The spice?
Yeah, brilliant.
Do you? Okay.
Brilliant. Nice
and,
one, chef.
Yeah, I love the tomatoes. I love heirloom tomatoes. They're great. They're really making quite a bit of a comeback, haven't they, recently, I think. What are heirloom tomatoes? Perhaps you can just explain. Who wants to... Yeah, let's hand them on your menu.
Tomato is basically some European tomatoes that are mixed up in colors and size. Okay, like you have the carnivores, it's mostly the colors, the sweetness stays same, whereas the heirloom tomato, the size is different. The weight looks like, it does look like a Roma tomato, like a basic tomato. It looks like a cherry tomato. And the flavor is basically in the same line, but the color is totally different. You can
get
you've black,
got greens,
purple,
and yeah,
exactly.
Purple, orange, everything. I love those. I love tomatoes. They're one of my favorite things to eat, actually. So it's good to see that you're using them, and especially with this amazing za'atar pesto. I like the idea of that. I wonder if I could make that at home. Is it easy to do?
Yeah, I think all the items you easily can get
you can
it in the supermarket.
Here,
yes.
And all the
you
other
can
things.
Get all the items here.
Yeah, I might try that. Give it a go. Thank you so much. It's been absolutely amazing having you on the show today. And thank you so much for sharing all this fabulous food with us as well. We're going to probably finish off most more of it while we're here. But a big thank you to Chef Charles Stefano Vieran, the chef de cuisine at Verdura Mediterranean Restaurant right here at Ibn Battuta Mall. Thank you so much. Come down, taste this wonderful Mediterranean food. Thank you for joining us.
Thank you for having
me. So, I tell you what, before we get back to talking about some more of the food stories and food news, I think it's time for another mystery ingredient.
Guess the ingredient.
Today's mystery ingredient is a flower from a hedgerow shrub native to Europe and North America. Be careful, only the blossoms that are today's mystery ingredient and the completely ripe dark berries are safe. All other parts of the plant are poisonous to humans.
Oh, I didn't know that.
No.
Gosh.
Today's mystery ingredient blooms in the late spring to the early summer.
If you think you know the answer, then do text in. We have quite a few correct answers actually come through already. But so we'll be picking a winner at the end of the program. If you think you know the answer, text in on 4001 and you could be winning a 500 dirham gift voucher for Folly. You could be down there at Folly. So, guys, great food. You feeling a bit better now, Nick?
Yes.
A bit more energy for the rest of the show.
It's really nice, really tasty.
Yeah, I love those salads. I think it's really, really delicious, really fresh.
They're taking it away. I'm asking him, are you done with that?
Don't get rid of it yet. another point which is quite interesting, I know you are very keen on this as well, is sourcing local ingredients. Is that a real priority when you're choosing all your ingredients for the menus?
I think... we've been here 8 years now, and it's where we came from. It's huge, the local heroes and all this stuff that goes on back in the UK and everywhere else in the world now. There's a huge focus on locally grown produce that hasn't got a huge carbon footprint and all that sort of stuff. So it's kind of ingrained in us.
Supporting local industries too.
Indeed,
it makes sense as well. Mm. You know, why go get it from somewhere far away when you can get it close to your doorstep?
So where do you mainly source? Do you go direct to the farms, or do you have distributors that you deal with?
A bit of both, really. We've been invited out to so many different places.
Well, there's thousands of farms in the UAE. It's incredible.
Yeah, so we've obviously found what we like to use and who we like to work with. We've got people that help us get things to the kitchen, to the restaurant. There's a lot of focus on the fish, of what's good in the oceans around us. Because I think when we got here, everyone turned their nose up at local fish, which was quite surprising, really, considering the size of the markets. And then you've got the fruit and veg market up in Ras Al Khor, so we've always been going up there to see what's good, in season, because everywhere has seasons.
Do you mainly stick to seasonal veg and seasonal fruits, or are you? I mean, we're so spoilt for choice here. We can eat strawberries all year round, or we can eat anything all year round. But do you try just to stick to what's in season?
I think because we both worked in the UK pretty much all our lives, you get it's ingrained in you to work with the seasons: spring, summer, autumn, winter. And
do the things taste better when they're actually in their proper season?
Definitely,
no? Definitely. But yeah. I think what we've learned here is to develop. You know, we're not in the UK anymore, and there's certain things from Africa or from, you know, the Middle East or the Levant or Europe that are good at certain times of year. So we can put them on the menu if the quality and the consistency and the price is right. We get some fish local, we get some fish from the UK, we get some fish from New Zealand. It depends on what time of year. Yeah. And, you know, if it's cold in New Zealand, it's hot in the UK or vice versa. And it's about the quality of the products. We've built up really good relationships with our main suppliers over the last 5, 6, 7 years that supply us.
We're going to have to take another short break. We've got the news headlines coming up as well. And when we come back, loads more food stories, more opportunities to guess the mystery ingredient for your chance to win 500 dirhams to eat at Folly, and more food coming up as well. I can see the chef in the background there. Hello. You're coming up later. We're going to have some more sampling, more food. 4001 is our text message number. Join us if you like on the show today. A very good afternoon. That's right. That is the Thursday brunch. We are live from Ibn Battuta Mall for the Dubai Food Festival. It's on till the 3rd of March. You may have seen foodie pop-ups and events and restaurant offers happening all around town. You've got chef demonstrations and even some fireworks going on for good measure. It's all part of the food festival happening all over the city. So we have been talking food here. We've got lots of eating going on as well right in front of us. We've got some fabulous guests. Let me introduce them to us, to you first of all. Swallow, and then we'll say hello to Nick and Scott Price. Hi, great to have you on the programme today.
Hello.
Great to have you. They are the founders and the chefs at Folly at the Souq Madinat Jumeirah, and do keep listening as well, because we've got a 500 dirham gift voucher to give away to you this afternoon to go and eat there at Folly. It's the mystery ingredient. I think Nick and Scott will be reading those out later. We had loads of correct answers, a few wrong ones as well, so do keep them coming in. We'll pick a winner at the end of the show. We're also joined by Tahir Shah. Hello. Who is Mr. Moti Roti, the creator also of the Food Founder. And our next guest is an absolute pleasure to welcome Chef Ryan Waddle, who looks after the clubhouse, the ship's wheel, but also the seafood kitchen in Jebel Ali Recreation Club.
Good afternoon.
How are you doing?
I'm good, thank you.
I like the fact it's just silence, absolute silence. I think we're going to be chatting for a while because both Nick, yep, Scott and Tahir are tucking in to your fabulous dishes that you've brought for us today. Let's start with those, shall we? We've got a Caesar salad and looks like a Thai prawn curry.
Yeah, so we've brought two dishes. We've brought our very simple chicken Caesar salad from the clubhouse menu. Light, fresh ingredients. The clubhouse is family-friendly restaurant. Classic pub dishes, really, is what we do there. And the second is a Thai prawn curry from the Seafood Kitchen. Seafood Kitchen is a fish market restaurant, so we've got beautiful fish displays, a lot of local fish, so we use as much local produce as we can there. And it is Asian flavours, a lot of Thai curries, sweet and sours, Singapore chilli crabs. That's the kind of style of food that's on offer there.
It's a beautiful colour, actually, the green Thai green curry. Give us some thoughts on that. Now you can take a breather. Nick, Scott, what are you thinking?
Eating their chicken Caesar salad. It's very delicious, actually.
Yeah. And you've been tucking into the prawn curry there. Is that, look, there's a big red chilli in the middle of that. Is that very spicy?
I'm leaving that one alone.
Are you?
Bit of a kicked it.
Yeah.
I was just going to say that. So I had the prawn curry, and there's this nice, great little sharp chilli kick. And then you get the sweetness of the basil. It's lovely, man. It's brilliant.
Yeah. And did you make that from scratch, or do you use any sort of Thai green pastes, or do you make them all from scratch?
No, all the Thai green pastes are homemade. So everything's scratch based. We big batch the curry paste, and then to order, we add all the coconut milk, the extra additional lemongrass, and everything in there to get the base flavours.
And venturing into the whole Asian cuisine, is that something new for you? I know you've just come back from a wonderful trip in Borneo. Was that a holiday, or was that a bit of both? Sampling new cuisines, getting new inspirations, ingredients?
Yeah, Asian food's always influenced me. I love the flavours, whether it be Far Eastern, Indian, Sri Lankan. I love the use of the flavours out there, the freshness of the flavours. So Borneo trip was a lot of pleasure, but then there's a lot of dining, you know, great tiny little restaurants, back street, hole in the wall places. The food's just amazing.
What were some of the best food moments that you had?
Some of the local rendang curries are awesome, black pepper, just beautiful dishes.
Are you going to be perhaps inspired to bring back some of those ideas to start cooking up in the restaurant?
Well, I say I'm working on another concept at the minute, which is an Asian kitchen, and it's a very mix again of all the regions, but there will be some of those Malaysian dishes on the menu.
What about Nick and Scott, are you Asian influenced at all?
Yeah, definitely. I mean, we like to use ingredients and combinations from all over the world. I mean, we had quite a bit of time to travel before we set up Folly, and we basically took a lot of ideas from all over the world. And I think eating out in all restaurants, you get an idea from wherever you go, and a flavour combination or something you haven't really tried or thought of, and it sparks an idea. But there's quite a lot of Asian elements on our menu at the moment. Yeah,
one of the most popular dishes actually is local cuttlefish. We make local cuttlefish dumplings, but it's with a Szechuan gel, so it's kind of a good mix of, you know, an Asian spice and the fresh local cuttlefish we get every day from the market.
Right.
And it's really, really popular. It's literally we wrap it in squid ink pasta, or cuttlefish pasta. We make fresh every day, and then we make the mix fresh every morning. The cuttlefish comes in, we make the mix, the filling, and we steam them to order with a Szechuan gel and a Szechuan cress, which is a locally grown cress as well.
Oh, right, interesting. Mm. So with a bit of spice in there as well.
You get like a numbing sensation from the Szechuan. It's not just pepper. You get like it numbs your tongue a little bit.
What is Szechuan? Is it actually a spice?
It's a peppercorn.
Right, okay.
And that's a kind of electric. It's very strange. I've always said to him it's like licking a battery. Exactly.
I shouldn't really admit to doing that, should I? But I'm sure everyone's
done it. He never gets it, but that's how it is.
Never licked a battery, Nick.
No.
Never lived.
No.
But that's how I describe Szechuan pepper.
Right, I get what you mean. yeah, sorry, it just makes me laugh. So going back to some of the dishes here, I'm afraid I can't taste your curry. I'm allergic to shellfish.
No,
it's
not
so
good.
Annoying. Something that happened quite a long time ago now, it's about 10, or even more, 5th overall terrible reaction to shellfish. I grew up on it. I mean, spent meals in the West Best, crabs and lobsters and oysters, the whole lot, absolutely my favourite food. And then, bang, one day, nearly died, ended up in hospital. Haven't been able to touch it since. So, it kills me, but that's unfortunately. I don't know if you ever get around it. I don't know if you can sort of get better after those things. I don't know, but I'm not going to be trying that today, though. So,
disappointing.
No ambulances will be called.
Yeah, we don't
thank
need
you.
That.
I can certainly try the the Caesar salad, though.
Good.
But you've got an interesting background as well. I mean, obviously, having grown up in Scotland,
yep.
You come from a farming background, farming family. Your brother's still a farmer.
Yep.
And here you are in Dubai, travelling the world, going to Borneo, cooking Asian prawn curries and etc. So it's quite a long way from home, isn't it?
Yeah, it is. But as I say, as a chef, we like to travel. Most chefs, it's about enjoying different cultures and experimenting. It's what we do. We're very open-minded people, I think, as chefs, and we do move from our home countries, from our hometowns. Even when we're training as young chefs, you tend not to stay in the same place for too long, just to gather that experience up. And that's part of the reason for being here in the Middle East and doing most of my travelling in the Far East in India. It's just great to see different cultures, flavours, tastes, and see how they do it as well. The farming, the fishing industries, it's changing. And in Dubai, I think, it's really developing here. I was very lucky, and I'm now using the local Dibba Bay oysters. Phenomenal product, and I was lucky to visit 2 weeks ago to the actual farm.
Interesting. So. Oh, wow. Okay. So you went to the oyster farm there.
Yep.
What's how are they distinctive from, say, other oysters from all over the world?
I think it's the way they're grown, and they're lucky here that they can grow them for a whole year season. Their water temperatures are right that they can grow them.
Are they big ones or small ones?
Yeah, they do all the sizes. They grade them up, but they grow them quite quickly, so they've got a thinner shell. But the oysters themselves are very briny. Because they're grown in the open ocean instead of estuaries. They were a great product. Awesome.
Mm. And what would you serve those with?
We have either on their own, straight, or we have a nice Thai-flavoured dressing that we
right.
just use.
Okay.
Yeah, we had some sent to us last week when you guys went, because I was supposed to come on the trip with you, but I couldn't make it. And Mark from Wetfish sent some to Folly for us to try, and they're really, really nice.
Are you a fan of oysters?
I haven't been, but I tasted it with Victoria straight out the shell, and they were really good. Yeah.
And what's
really
your technique of eating them? You're not supposed to chew them more than twice or once, isn't it? Just let it slip down your throat.
Yeah, I bit into it and then just swallowed it.
Yeah, they're funny old things, aren't they? I think they're more of a, I don't know, more of a folly than a than a food. I don't know. What about you, Nick? Sorry, Scott, do you like them?
I'm not the biggest oyster fan, to be honest.
No, but would
Nick
you
and Victoria
them?
Love them, so I'm quite happy to let them.
Honestly, I don't love them. Victoria I don't love does. Them, but I think they're a really clean tasting oyster.
Give or take. As I say, to get a local product, and that's what as chefs we're looking for. So we're not paying for prices to fly them in, so it keeps the price down, so it makes it more accessible to the
customer. About to ask that, actually. I think that's interesting. Does that change the price? I mean, oysters are very much on the sort of the higher range of the price range, aren't they? Well, you certainly see that in the restaurant, but does this mean that they're more accessible now?
Yeah, definitely. As I say, it allows me to sell half a dozen oysters at 50 dirhams. I couldn't do that with imported oysters.
Yeah, exactly. I wanted to ask a little bit, as I said, we did mention that you are obviously from Scotland. Do you manage to incorporate any sort of taste of home into your food, or have you left it far behind you on your travels?
No, definitely it's influenced me in the past. The cottage pies, the stews, the braised lamb shanks, the roast, haggis, wherever possible, finds its way onto the menu at
really?
Some point, definitely.
Do you make that?
Yeah, I have done in the past, made my own haggis. It's not the easiest thing to make, but like anything, if we can make it, we will make
yeah.
it.
Yeah. And again, we've been talking, well, we talked earlier with the chef who joined us, Charles Stefano, and again with Nick and Scott about sourcing locally. You've mentioned about the Dibber oysters. What about all the other things? What about like the salads and the eggs from the chickens and the meat, things like that? Is it becoming a lot easier to source locally?
Definitely. As I say, I work quite closely with Ripe Organic, so we do use their locally grown organic chicken.
Really?
It's a really, really good product as well. We have our other restaurant, Jumeirah Islands. I've put in a garden, so we have 10 organic boxes. So I'm growing a majority of our own basil. We're growing a rocket. We're growing cherry tomatoes. We're trying to grow what we can as well.
Oh, that's really nice to hear. Yeah. So you're growing veg. I mean, is it going to extend? Do you think to perhaps have your own vegetable patch or kitchen garden?
This basically is 10 big 2 meter by 1 meter square boxes. And I say we get a kilo of basil off there a week. So it produces for us. Okay, not enough to sustain the restaurant, but it's definitely good to introduce that.
Mm. And is there thoughts to sort of extend that and to sort of get into it a bit more? Or?
Yeah, it's a very...
It's a whole other business, different level of scope.
It would be great. It's to get the prime space. It needs to be the right lighting, not too hot, not too direct. It's quite a challenging thing, but it's another challenge that we work for.
Mm, yeah. It's great to hear, though. I love that. Maybe you can have a little kitchen garden at the top of Folly.
We are playing around with growing the micro herbs and stuff like that,
right.
But not actual. Well, we've got some bunches outside, but it's when the heat kicks in, it's like heartbreaking. It's like you can't do anything. Nothing will grow.
Yeah, I'm struggling with that right now. I've got my basil and my tomatoes, and they're all looking a bit withered and a bit brown. They need a bit of love, I think. The sun's getting hotter. Let us know. Maybe you have got your own kitchen garden, or you're growing some vegetables or herbs. I'd love to hear from you. If you're successful, if they're growing well, what are some of your secrets to growing them on 4001? And do keep those messages coming for the mystery ingredient to win 500 dirham voucher for Folly. We'd love to hear from you on that. We'll be back with more after this. Good afternoon. Loads of messages coming through. Thank you so much for those. And great to hear from one of our listeners, Tony. Thanks, Tony, who says, just started with a square foot garden. I've had a fantastic time. At the moment, I have strawberries. Gosh, strawberries. I've never been able to grow strawberries in Dubai. Tomatoes, carrots, beets, spring onions, garlic, basil and coriander and green peppers and eggplant. It's been so rewarding. Not looking forward to summer. Wow, that's brilliant. Yeah. Thanks for that, Tony. I've only managed to do tomatoes, coriander, basil. I've got sweet corn growing. I'm not sure what's going to happen to that. And no, that's about it, actually.
We've got cucumbers, chilies,
cucumbers.
Marjoram.
Lots of marjoram.
Basil. Yeah. Basil's quite
sturdy.
Basil's
great. Yeah. And I've got wild basil growing all over the place, and it just smells amazing.
Surprisingly, puts up with the weather. It's quite tough. Yeah, it's good.
Yeah. But you do get these big flowers that come out. I think you have to take those off to keep it, because it gets a bit tough. I'm not sure. And the flavours really change, don't they? They come quite strong and sort of aniseedy, I think.
Yeah, they do get a lot stronger. That's what we found, a lot of flowering, and then the stems get very woody.
Yeah.
And that's what happens.
Yeah, but it's a hardy little thing. Coriander's a bit more delicate, I find. Yeah. Not being able to grow that much of that. But that's really interesting that Tony's managed strawberries too. Good, good. We've got what have you been putting on them, Tony? Tell us, how have you been letting them grow so well? If you've got a little garden, I'd love to hear from you as well. What are you growing right now? And what's your secret to growing good veg and herbs? 4001. I tell you what, before we go any further, let's do another one of these mystery ingredients.
Guess the ingredient.
Today's mystery ingredient has a vitamin C, flavonoids, rutin, and tannins, important for immune health as well as antioxidant and anti-inflammatory purposes.
We're not keeping it simple for you guys today, are we?
No.
What?
Definitely not.
Yes, so if you think you know the answer, if you think you know what it might be, text in on 4001. Do put your name on those messages, and you could be winning a 500 dirham gift voucher to go and enjoy over at Folly. So a couple of food stories have caught my eye over the last week as well, and I want to get some thoughts from the chefs here and also from Tahir, who's with us. And I don't know about you, but for me, ice cream should just be normal ice cream, various different flavours, chocolate, I don't know, caramel, blah, blah, blah. Why complicate things and make things like Stilton ice cream or, like, what was it, egg and bacon ice cream? What do you think of this?
I think the reason you're talking about it because people are interested and it's good marketing because we're talking about it on the radio. So
yeah, but we can talk about it. We might think it's absolutely disgusting and not want to eat it. Would you eat it?
I've tried bacon and egg, bacon ice cream before because it's from the, I presume it's from the Fat Duck restaurant in London.
Well, I don't know about this. It's from Heston Blumenthal.
Yeah, the Fat Duck. Yeah,
Fat Duck. It's very, right.
Yeah, it's been around a long time. But the way he does it is with liquid nitrogen, and the egg is, he fills the egg full of bacon mixture or something and makes it in front of you. So it's not quite as simple as it sounds.
No. And what about things like marmalade on toast?
Ice cream.
Yeah.
I'd give that a go. Yeah, I wouldn't do Stilton ice cream. No,
I wouldn't do Stilton.
No,
would you?
Disgusting. Yeah.
I thought you said, what about marmalade on toast? I was like, what's wrong with that?
No. Ice cream. I've got the ice cream bits.
I could do that on definitely. As an ice cream, yeah.
Yeah, maybe. I don't actually like marmalade, so maybe not. I remember many, many, many years ago now, thinking way back, brown bread ice cream was all the rage at a restaurant that in my hometown. And that was good. It was kind of a bit odd, but once you got over the whole idea, it was actually nice. I enjoyed that. Have you ever had any sorts of ice creams like that or strange things on your menu?
We tried to steer away from scaring people off, to be honest.
It's a little bit
molecular
gimmicky, isn't it?
Food. And
it's just a bit, you know, have your marmalade with your coffee. On toast.
Right, so you don't really like to mix it up too much?
No, we stick to like traditional ingredients, familiar ingredients, but we just use them in a slightly different way, present them in a bit of a different way. But I think everybody generally recognises and understands what they're eating when they come to Folly.
Yeah, what about you, Ryan? Are you up for strange tasting foods or ice creams?
Ice creams, I like to experiment, but not too much. I am a classic chef. I love just old school simple. There's no need to mess with it. I do like pairing different stuff. I think I've got in the minute a pandana creme brulee. You know, pandana leaves a brilliant flavour and it makes a cracking creme brulee.
Are those the big green, beautiful green ones that you see, like the banana leaves?
Yeah, they're a bit thinner and longer, the pandana leaves, but they're very aromatic, a bit vanilla in flavour anyway, so it works really well.
But nothing too sort of molecular and going back to all these now?
No, I'm very, very, very traditional in how I was trained to cook and how I do still cook.
But do you follow trends though? I mean, you must look at what's happening globally and look at what's, you know, new flavours, new seasonings, whatever it might be that you might want to incorporate.
Yeah, you definitely do. I think every chef does. You've got to keep with the market. And I say the health food drive and what products are coming into the market. We are watching and seeing what's happening in the market.
And what are some of those trends, you think, at the moment?
I think the biggest one is the health food eating and the grains and what's going in. And clean eating. Simple. The use of coconut oils just to reduce your saturated fats and whatnot.
And has that been very sort of easily accepted by the by people here? That is that something that they're asking for now a lot more of? We talked earlier, in fact, with Nick and Scott about you saying that vegetarian options and options that are gluten-free are, you know, feature quite heavily onto your menus these days as well. Do you feel that the consumer is asking for that more?
I think there's a lot of places in the city where you can get that always, but I think we're quite firm believers in, you know, if you come to the restaurant, it's for a night out and you want to enjoy yourself. We try our best to be healthy, but at the same time, it doesn't, the best healthy things don't always taste the best. So, we put lamb fat, cook things in butter, and we do things the traditional way. But also, we don't put cream in everything. It's not as heavy. The food's definitely lighter than it was 10 years ago. You know, we both come from classic trained, you know, French restaurants,
right.
Everything's got butter in, everything's got cream in, but we've definitely lightened the style up over here. But still, people come with expectations, and if we can make things taste as good as they are without putting butter and stuff, when we do, but
can
sometimes
you?
It's just
we use it, but we don't really serve it. So okay. We use it to add flavour, but we don't actually serve it on the plate. So like with the lamb fats, we cook our beef in the roasted beef fat, but we just use it for the flavour.
Right.
We don't actually serve it on the plate. It just basically marinates the meat.
But it's evolving, as you said. I mean, cooking and your business, it evolves constantly, doesn't it? You've got to always look at what people are wanting. You've got to look globally at what the trends are. You've got to look what the available ingredients are. And you're saying that there is sort of a global trend for perhaps looking a little bit healthier, and something that you're now offering for your customers.
That was a big focus on what we do at Folly, in the fact that the dishes are smaller. We get a lot of comments that it's too small, but the idea is that you try smaller dishes, almost like a tapas style, but it's not Spanish food. So you know, the more main course dishes, people are expecting meat, potatoes.
Yeah.
And a big plate of food. We don't really do that. We serve the food that we like to eat, and the focus is on like flavour, freshness, and something a little bit different.
Mm-hmm.
The idea is you can come and try four or five different dishes as opposed to just having a starter, main course,
right.
And dessert. And
yeah.
It gives you a bit more freedom. You want to have a glass of a nice chilled something or other with a couple of different dishes, matching pairings, you know, with a couple of friends and have a couple of dishes, or you want to have a five-course tasting menu. We're very flexible now. When we looked at how we wanted to do Folly, we could have went starter, main course, dessert like everybody else, but at the same time, we lose a lot of trade of a couple of people who just want to come in and have a couple of dishes and then leave. There's no pressure. It's quite a relaxed environment. Everything's very, you know, professional, but at the same time, you know, if you want to have a couple of things, a couple of bites,
yeah,
no problem. Yeah. It's an anniversary, special occasion. We try to cater for as much as possible.
Well, we've got more to come on the programme. The news is next, though, but keep your messages and your questions coming through on 4001. Good afternoon. Very warm welcome back to the show. This is the Thursday Brunch. We're having a great chat about food, about sourcing locally, about growing your own vegetables as well. Thanks very much for those messages that have come through. Thanks, Tony, for yours. We've also had a fantastic mystery ingredient. Loads of correct answers, some not quite there yet. We are going to do, I think, probably the last one in a few minutes to win a 500 dirham voucher to eat at Folly Restaurant, which is lovely. So do tune in for that. Keep the number handy, 4001, if you'd like to get in touch with the show. If you've just joined us, I'm going to reintroduce everyone again. We've got Nick and Scott, who are the founders and the chefs of Folly, which is a wonderful restaurant over there at Souq Madinat Jumeirah. And they are celebrating their year in business. So another happy birthday to you. They've got some great menus, special menus over the weekend. But is it full, or can you still head down there?
Tonight is full.
Tonight's full.
Restaurant week. Tomorrow... Is it full?
I'm pretty
you never
sure.
Know. Can
tomorrow
give it a go anyway.
Well. I mean, give us a ring.
Give a ring. Cool.
And anybody that cancels, then we'll make sure we get in touch.
And you
with
get
them.
A piece of cake too.
Yeah, well, for tomorrow we're running, because it's our first birthday, we've got a DJ from 6 o'clock, which is not normally what we do, but we want to celebrate. So that'll be going on late into the night. And we're also running a happy hour from 12 till 9 o'clock tomorrow, so all day on a Friday. So if you want to come for a beverage in the afternoon, look at the rooftop. We've got beautiful views over the Madinat and the Palm Jumeirah. It's a pretty stunning location on the rooftop terrace,
lovely,
as well.
Yeah.
So, and then maybe have a snack from the bar menu.
Sounds good. A nice way to spend your Friday afternoon. We're also joined by Tahir Shah, who is Mr. Moti Roti. Hello. Yeah, and also the creator of The Food Founder, which is a fantastic, relatively new website that you've started to help and assist those people in the food business who want to start up, maybe start their own restaurant, give them advice, what to do and what not to do.
Just tell them, don't do it.
Oh, no. but thanks, Tahir. It's great to have you on the show.
Thank you.
And let's say hello and welcome once again to Chef Ryan Waddle, who looks after the clubhouse, the Ship's Wheel, and also the seafood kitchen over at Jebel Ali Recreation Club. Chef Ryan, thanks for joining us. Gosh, you've got your hands full over there, haven't you? And just balancing all these various different cuisines as well.
Yeah, no, it keeps interesting. As I say, it's a challenge day in, day out, which is what I like. You know,
yeah.
It just keeps you busy and different things. I don't know, a bit of a scatterbrain, so it's nice to move from one thing to another thing and keeps things moving.
Mm. How do you come up with new recipes? That's for everyone, really. How does it start? Does it come up? Does it just come from reading, speaking to people, traveling?
A lot of traveling, a lot of reading, a lot of the internet these days.
Yeah.
It's so easy now with the internet, just to sit for hours browse, write down some ingredients and just kind of Google and search, and based on those ingredients, just what you want to come up with.
But how long does it take to actually, from, you know, that sort of thought in your mind to a dish on the table?
I think for me, personally speaking, what we do at Folly, we generally write a menu and then you see how balanced the menu is. And we've got 8, 16, 24, about 30 odd dishes on the menu. And we like to think that every one of them is totally unique and we don't repeat anything at all. So it takes quite a long time. So the recipes generally come afterwards. In a weird way, mm-hmm. We don't generally introduce one dish. We change the menu.
So you think, right, I think we should have a incorporate another fish dish on here with a bit of something, and then you sort of work backwards to actually creating
it. We kind of try and make it really awkward for ourselves and not copy any kind of cooking methods or styles or repeat ingredients in the whole menu, so everything's different.
Unique. And
not so much unique, but just different. There's no kind of three or four different kinds of mushrooms or that. We try as hard as we can to every time we change the menu. It's, example, if you have red peppers, for example, on one dish, we wouldn't have them on something else.
Of course, right.
And if we take that off, then it gives us a chance to use another ingredient. But I think together over the last 7 or 8 years, there's quite a back catalogue of stuff we don't use. But also there's some things we've tried that work and don't work.
Do you disagree a lot?
Sometimes, but it's positive, I think.
When it comes to...
You've been working together for years. You obviously work very closely in the kitchen. It's a highly stressed environment. Are you sort of, you know, obviously have a great working relationship?
Yeah, I mean, when it comes to dishes and stuff like that, generally we just come up with stuff and work together on what...
Do you have different specialities? Like, are you stronger in the meat, you're stronger in the fish, stronger in the veg, or you just...
I think
sort
we have preferences
of
ingredients.
Okay.
Yes. But I think it's more than that. I think we've been working together we're very honest with each other, for good or for bad. Everything is about the customer experience in the restaurant. It's not just about the food. You know, Folly is ours. McVictoria, myself and Nick, you know, the investor pretty much gave us a budget and said, right, do what you want. And the whole restaurant is designed top to bottom, entrance, floors, the cups, the plates, the music. Every single thing has been is ours. It's our little home, our little restaurant, and we're very particular about everything. You know, even through to the uniforms,
yeah.
How everything's put on the table. We have final say on everything, and it's very tough. But at the same time, you know, like tonight when it's full and it's buzzing, it's such an amazing feeling. For all that hard work pays off, and the restaurant, the food menus are obviously a big part of it. But obviously, the cocktail program is just as important. The service is just as important.
It's the whole thing, isn't it? It all comes together.
It's,
yeah,
it's blending it all together. Yeah,
I mean, it's getting it right. And I think, you know, you can go to a restaurant and having fantastic food, but if the service is awful, you know, the music is dreadful, the environment is dreadful, it doesn't work.
Sometimes good food isn't enough to bring you
exactly
back to the restaurant. And
yeah,
you know, we're lucky enough to have Victoria as a business partner, and she's, you know, one of the best we've ever worked with in terms of looking after guests.
And what about you, Ryan? Is it, you obviously deal on the business side as well. Is it quite a challenge? You all started as chefs, which is all about the food. It's all about the cooking. It's about the ingredients, etc. It's about the creativity, I think, which goes on behind it. Then you have to get into the whole business side. Is that a whole other realm for you that's quite challenging, or it's just part and parcel of the restaurant business?
Yeah, it depends on the style of restaurant you're in. As I say, when you're in a fine dining, more environment, your food focus, it does. It changes the whole game when you have to start thinking balancing numbers. And we're casual dining outlets, high volume, high turnover. Okay, our guests are repeat guests. Every night of the week, some of these guys are in. They eat two or three times a week. It's different. But yeah, you do have to change your mindset. As I say, what I would love to put on the plate, it's not necessarily what the guests are going to pay for. A big part of my job is value for money dining, and that's what I have to offer on a daily basis. I have to look at what's the best ingredient I can give that the customer's willing to pay. I think that's where the key for me at this minute in time, what I have to look at.
What's your food fantasy then?
Food fantasy is good on what we've talked about. It would be fully sustainable, crofting kind of restaurant where you could do everything yourself.
Really?
I think that's why it is a fantasy, because being able to fully sustain your own restaurant is...
Oh, I think that would be amazing. I went to a restaurant last year in the summer, and it was beautiful. It was sat on a golf course, but it was in the middle of the countryside, and right next to where we were sitting, you could just see the vegetables growing, and they could see the chef actually and they going out and picking stuff, and it was just absolutely wonderful. It wasn't fully sustainable, but it was very much so, and that was their concept. That's really where they were coming from. I just thought it was such a fantastic, and I think people are looking for that. I think people want to see, you know, where their food is coming from. They're asking those questions, you know, where's it sourced, what's its history, what's its provenance, you know, where is this beef from, you know, is it got hormones in it, what, you know, all these sorts of things. And I think it's not really a trend. I think that is the way that what people are looking for.
Definitely, that is what people want now, and I think the transparency is a lot better in the last 5-6 years in the industry than it was. I think we've gone from the 50s and 60s where everybody knew exactly where the food came from, went through a period in the 80s, 90s where it became processed rubbish, and now we're back into an era of transparency and people want to know where the food comes from.
Yeah, yeah.
It didn't take a huge amount of time to come back to where it should be.
Well, let's talk more about that on our return. Do join the conversation on 4001. Quickly, I just wanted to say that Edward has texted in saying, I'm a mad gardener with a big veggie patch in the backyard. My young kids, 3 and 5, love it, and they get involved in the whole process of composting, watering, sowing the seeds, picking ingredients out of the garden when we're cooking. Thank you, Edward. That sounds absolutely wonderful. Any more avid gardeners out there? Tell us what you're growing. Let us know on 4001. Just to wrap up, is that, you know, this is your roots. Your roots when you started, and the reason why you started, I think, Scott, you said that, the reason why we started cooking, why we got into the whole business in the first place, was because of that. You know, we could see where the food was. We were interested in food. I mean, you started at a very young age, like chefing, cooking. I mean, that's what it was all about. It was about this passion for food, for real food, wasn't it?
I think that I was at college, and I went to work in the Lake District. I was already working in a restaurant in a nice little country house hotel, and then I went to the lakes, and then I found what really got me into the food, proper high-end restaurants with proper sources, things done really, you know, high level. And it was difficult but also really rewarding. I think not everybody understands and wants to put all the hours in to cook for other people and gets a kick out of the passion for doing it as well. And really, the Lake District for me is where I'd like to end up in another 10 or 20 years and have a little kind of boutique hotel hideaway that does everything from the surrounding area and shows off the best produce, which I think is what it's all about, really.
Yeah, and supporting those local initiatives, you know, and you see a lot of that more now, I think, as well, you know, the cheese, the, you know, these beautiful honey makers, you know, all these wonderful little places that are specialized and the restaurants using them and hopefully selling them to the supermarkets possibly as well.
I think it's for me, a weekend away somewhere in the Lake District where there's everything's natural, you know, the honey, the produce, everything's local from the surrounding area. It's a really amazing experience to see what the provenances of different cultures and counties in the UK have to offer.
Yeah. Well, you're the guys at the forefront of this, and I think you know, as consumers as well, can certainly start asking for those sorts of things. And I know that that's in your hearts as well, to do that and to go back to that real food, real cooking. So we hope to see more of it. We're going to have to leave it there. It's been a fantastic show, and I say a big thank you to everyone who's joined us, and I wish you all the very best. Congratulations once again to Nick and Scott for 1 year of Folly. May there be many, many more.
Thank you.
We look forward also to hearing more about your new venture when you're ready to talk about it in Dubai somewhere soon. Keep your eyes and your ears open. There'll be something new happening by Nick and Scott. Thanks very much for joining us on the program today. All the best with your birthday weekend.
Thank you.
Thanks.
Thank you.
That's Nick and Scott there from Folly. And also, while we're on that, good congratulations to Danielle, who won the mystery ingredient, which was elderflowers. If you didn't get it, she is going to be going down to Folly and with her 500 dirham gift voucher. A big thanks also to Chef Ryan Waddle. Thank you, Chef. It's been great to have you on the program.
You've got
something else happening too as well soon, haven't you? Opening soon on, can I say where it is?
It is on the Palm.
On the Palm.
No guarantees of opening dates just yet,
though. Okay. But we'll keep our ears and eyes open for that as well. A new concept for you. Thanks. Yep. It's been great to speak to you today. Thank you for joining us. And of course, a big thanks also to Tahir Shah. All the best to you with your new business, The Food Founder. If you want to find out more, check out on the website.
Thanks
to everyone, and have a great weekend. Do head down to the food festival. It's on to the 3rd of March. There's pop-ups everywhere, beach canteen, there's restaurant deals and offers all over town, and even some fireworks, I think, later on today or tomorrow.
There's just so much more to hear.
Download our podcasts at DubaiEye1038.com.